It was actually this time yesterday. We had Greg Dancho of the Beardsley Zoo on the show, and he was talking about the excitement of Easter, and he was talking about the excitement of five new geeselings that have now been born at the Beardsley Zoo. And as we were talking about this, you know, right near the end of our conversation, he sort of said, oh, by the way, if you're thinking about putting a cute animal in your kid's Easter basket, don't do it. Okay, bye. I mean, we ran out of time, so it wasn't his fault, and that wasn't the topic we were going to dive into. But it was actually on my radar to talk to the Connecticut Humane Society, because we talk to them each week for our Pet of the Week, but every year, especially ahead of Christmas, but really Easter, this is really the time where we usually talk to the Connecticut Humane Society about not just putting a bunny or a chick or a duckling in your kid's Easter basket. And yeah, people do this. We're not just talking about that. We're also talking about it is the spring. This is typically when shelters across the country will see more and more cats producing kittens. We see more rabbits producing bunnies. Heck, we see more puppies out there as well. This is the time where you're going to see more and more baby animals pop up in shelters and in humane societies. But it doesn't mean they should go home with you. So Catherine Schubert is back with us to talk a little bit more about this and understanding really the weight of your decision to adopt a pet this holiday or during the springtime. Catherine, thank you so much for popping back on the air. I know it's been a couple of days since we last spoke, so I appreciate you coming back on a second time in a week. How are you?
Yeah, no worries. I'm doing well. I'm glad to be here to talk about this, because this is an important topic this time of year, and honestly throughout the year, because like you said before, sometimes the thought process can kind of stop when you're thinking, I'm gonna bring home a cute pet. It's a lifelong commitment for that pet, and there's a lot of responsibility that comes along with it. So it's a great thing to be talking about this morning.
Well, and we've seen this certainly year after year, where people want to do something great for their kids, or they want to do something great for a family member, and they think a companion pet. And, you know, it's funny, we focus on the Easter baskets, right? But I've actually seen a lot, and I don't know if you can, you know, speak to this at all, Catherine, but I've also seen where adult children think, you know, My mom or dad, you know, lost their spouse or is going through a hard time or is going through empty nesting. It might be great to give them a companion, right? I mean, the thought is beautiful. It really, really is nice. We're not trying to shame people. However, as much as it would be a great surprise, you know, the number one reason that we see animals across the country abandoned, if you look at the national statistics, I have them right here. If you go to the ASPCA website, for example, it says, according to their national rehoming survey, this was done literally at the end of 2023, pet problems are the most common reason owners rehome their pets. Now, what are pet problems? That could be behaviors. It could be that they grew larger than expected. It could be health problems that the owner could not handle. Or it could be that in the end, they really just didn't want the pet. So when we talk about this, it's a great gesture, but if you don't already get the clearance from the person you're giving it to that they're ready to take on this responsibility, it's actually a horrible gesture.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely correct. Unexpected issues with that pet is definitely the number one reason we see too. And those are problems that often come up because of lack of time, lack of interest in that pet, and just the inability to socialize these animals properly. And that is something that can happen when somebody decides to give a pet as a gift rather than letting that person be involved in that process, make that decision for themselves. So we definitely don't recommend that people give pets as gifts. We actually have a good list of things that you can do instead of giving a pet as a gift. There, you know, even magazine subscriptions for animal related things is a good thing to do. That can get somebody thinking about maybe getting a pet and has all the tips for pet ownership for that person. You can give them animal related books. Everybody loves a good book as a present, and that fits right in the Easter basket, not wiggling around. And even like gift cards for local nature centers or gift cards for adoption. If somebody has been talking about this or thinking about this, or you think that they've been thinking about this, give them a gift card so that they can adopt instead of making the decision to adopt for them instead. So we do that here at the Connecticut Humane Society. If you're interested in getting a gift card to go towards somebody adoption, you can absolutely do that. But you're absolutely right. It's when issues come up in the home with a pet, that's when they end up homeless. And we want to avoid that as much as possible. If there's the ability for somebody to make that decision for themselves and make that commitment and understand the responsibility all by themselves, then that is exactly, that's the right step to do.
We have Catherine Schubert here from the Connecticut Humane Society. Catherine, give us a snapshot as well. We know in recent years, it's really been a struggle for shelters and humane societies to keep up in our state and across the country with the overflow of abandoned animals. And even I think you and I have talked about this even as recently as a month or so ago. You guys are still looking for people to just be able to house these animals, to foster them until you could find homes. I mean, tell us kind of what has been happening in recent years.
Yeah, absolutely. So we do have a lot of pets. We work with our community to make sure that we're giving the pets all these resources that they need before they get rehomed. So here at the Connecticut Humane Society, that means that when a pet comes to us, when somebody has to give up their pet for whatever reason, or we work with an exterior animal shelter or rescue center to bring those pets into us, we make sure that that pet is getting all of the medical care that they need before they get adopted and also all the behavioral care that they need. So we have a team dedicated to making sure that any behavioral issues that that pet might have or might have had in their previous home are dealt with and are focused on during that pet stay. And so that way, when somebody comes in to adopt a pet, they're counseled on that pet's specific needs. And they are set off on the right foot to make sure that everything's going to go well in that introductory period for a pet to be introduced to that new home. And that's kind of we have to give pets the ability to adjust. So even in thinking about bringing a pet into your home, you have to be thinking about the adjustment period for that pet. That pet is not going to be quite comfortable in a home until, say, 30 days, 60 days after adoption. So giving them that period to adjust before you can even figure out what that right routine is, before you can figure out what exactly the time commitment or training needs for that pet are going to be long term, is really important.
I mean, it's kind of logical. It's like getting a new job. It's funny. We think that pets will adjust right away, like that they'll be grateful right away. But most of these animals have been through shuffling situations, or, you know, sometimes they've had to be surrendered because the person who, you know, their owner had passed away. They had to move away. So it's funny how we expect animals to adjust so much faster than we as humans even adjust to things. Like it is to me very interesting. So let's get down to business and understand the commitment to adopting a pet. We have Catherine Schubert here from the Connecticut Humane Society, and we want to talk about just knowing what you're in for. And again, this isn't to scare you. It really is to just make sure that, first of all, the pet is going to a home that can commit to its longevity of life. It also is very heartbreaking for a lot of people when they have to surrender a pet, or if they find out that an animal that they gifted to somebody didn't work out, and now that person feels bad that they can't keep it, and you feel horrible. I mean, there's just a lot of horrible feelings there. And then, of course, there are just the people who just don't care. But we're going to go with, listen, we have great listeners on WICC who have hearts of gold, Catherine, and I don't think any of them would ever purposely hurt an animal. So let's make sure that we're going to go with the first group of people who would just be heartbroken if it didn't work out. Let's make sure people are prepared properly. How long, on average, do typical pets at the Connecticut Humane Society live? And of course, you've got some senior pets there and some babies. But let's say somebody adopts a kitten or a puppy or a bunny. How long are they committed to this animal?
Yeah, so all three of those pets have different lifespans, but when you adopt a dog, you can expect that dog to live between 10 to 12 years, like get to that age, 10 to 12 years old. For kittens, it's probably going to be a 15 to 20 year commitment. Cats live long, long lives, so those guys last a while. And then when it comes to rabbits, they can live between 6 to 8 years with proper care. So all of them are definitely several year commitments. That's not going to be just a quick, you know, year long care and it goes away. It's a lifelong commitment for those pets.
Well, and I learned just through living on this planet, and we've always adopted pets since I was a kid. We've always, you know, rescued animals. Birds live a very long life, right? I mean, they could live a very, very long life.
Yes, they definitely can. Birds have very long lifespans. That can be upwards of 20, 30 years.
Yeah.
I've even seen some birds living for 50 years, so they're the most long commitment for sure.
Well, and even, you know, it's interesting. My mom has a miniature farm in her backyard. She's right on the Easton line. So she's got the property, and she grew up, you know, working on farms when she was a kid. So she knows it. But I did not know when she had adopted a pig. She still has Gertie. He's kicking. Gertie can live, I mean, by the time my parents are, like, you know, in wheelchairs, like in a nursing home. I mean, when my mom adopted Gertie, I remember her saying, because my parents are pushing 70. My father's pushing 70. And so when they adopted Gertie, my sister was in high school. So we're talking, I don't know, not even 10 years ago. Gertie's going to be around. Like, one of us had to commit to taking Gertie, because at some point, if my parents have to move out or, God forbid, leave this planet, someone's got to take Gertie.
Yeah.
The pig. It's crazy. You have to make those kinds of plans, though. I think that's sort of the point, is that, you know, even when you talk about a dog, you know, 10 to 12 years. I mean, I've had dogs that lived 16 years, 18 years.
Yeah.
I think it's knowing that. The other thing, too, is they're expensive, right? I mean, on average, what are kind of the costs associated with taking care of vet bills, for example?
Yeah, absolutely. So evaluating your budget is a really important thing to do pre-adoption. Over the lifetime of a pet, the cost of ownership can be honestly between $1,500 and $2,000 per year. And as inflation is going up and as expenses are getting higher, like that cost is certainly going up over time, too. So it's also a monetary commitment that you have to consider with a pet.
Yup. Yup. That is so true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. And that's if an emergency veterinary bill doesn't come up. Those are your average costs. So veterinary bills are also a big consideration. You know, if an emergency happens or urgent care is needed, that cost can double, triple pretty quickly. So
yeah,
it's important to keep all those things in mind.
Well, and that's the thing, is you brought up a great point. People don't think about, again, you know, not just the, you know, the yearly costs. And God forbid, I had a beagle that pulled two ACLs within a year. He was five. He pulled both his ACLs within 4 months of each other. And because he jumped off of things, you know, you gotta love animals. They're the best. But yeah, they can be very costly. And even in the first 6 months, so we just adopted a special needs corgi. Actually, 2 months ago, we adopted Bruin. Yeah. We love him. He's a doll. He's a wonderful, wonderful animal. However, Bruin, just with the first 6 months, he's got all of these shots he has to get, obviously. He now has to get on, obviously, the tick and heartworm and all that. He's got to get, you know, fixed at some point, neutering and fixing, like that all has to happen as well. And that's all within the first 6 months if you get a baby. So I don't even know if people realize that, you paid the upfront cost of, okay, a couple $100 to adopt this animal. You know, that's great. But just in those first 6 months, you better budget, because to take care of these animals properly and to make sure that they're not getting other animals sick and that they themselves don't get sick, it's going to cost you. It's a lot.
I will say that at the Connecticut Humane Society, when you adopt with us, when you get a cat, dog, or rabbit with us, those spay-neuter operations come with your adoption fee, and you also are making, like, your pets come with their up-to-date vaccinations and their age-appropriate vaccinations. So all that does help with the cost when you adopt with the Connecticut Humane Society.
Well, that is definitely one of many, many reasons why we at WICC love partnering with the Connecticut Humane Society. What is your number, Catherine, if people want to call you guys, and, of course, your website as well for more information?
Yeah, absolutely. So they can reach us at 800-452-0114. And our website is cthumane.org. There's lots of resources on there. There's even a checklist. So if anybody has questions about what they should be thinking about pre-adopting, that's all on there. So definitely check out those resources.
Catherine Schubert, always a pleasure to chat with you. Thank you so much, and have a happy Easter.
Thank you to you as well, Melissa.
All right. We appreciate you. And that is the Connecticut Humane Society here on WICC.